weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Stephen Hazel-Wimmer is a screenwriter. He's written a number of short films, but a few weeks back he answered a call from the Cambridge Refugee Resettlement Campaign. He's now the organisation's coordinator, and I'm pleased to say that Stephen is here with me now. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Hi, great to be with you this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. So how did you get involved in all of this? You were the number one volunteer, I gather.
Well, basically back in March of this year, I got an email from a campaigning organisation saying we'd like to have people to volunteer as campaigners, so I signed up, and then a few months later I got an email saying, you know, let's get the campaign started. I said, who else is in Cambridge? They said, you're the only one. So off I go, you know. And it's very much a case of, you know, when you've given that opportunity and you see these terrible images on the television, then it's a case of you have to sort of step up. So I basically stepped up sort of and just got on with organising the campaign and getting ourselves, you know, and to sort of make the thing happen. So,
are you the type of person who normally signs up or sort of puts your name to a petition if it comes along?
I will sign pretty much every petition that comes into my inbox, providing I agree with it. I think it's important. I think they can make an enormous difference, signing petitions, but obviously they're only so far. You have to kind of do something further. And this was a chance to actually step up and campaign to lobby the council. So,
and I'm thinking at that point, a few months back, nobody really, although it was in the news, we and other news organisations were reporting things, terrible things happening, but for whatever reason, it hadn't at that point gripped the public's imagination. And then, of course, those tragic photographs which appeared of the young boy on the beach kind of spurred everybody into action, really.
I think it's a case that people weren't sort of offered the chance to actually do something about it. I think it's very easy to kind of get lulled into a sense of passivity where you expect, you know, your national governments or your local council to do something. And I think that moment, that terrible image on the television, made everyone realise that, you know, the government, the local councils weren't doing anything. Mm. And it's time to actually, you know, do something about it. The analogy I like to use, if your house is on fire, you know, you ring up the fire engine, but you don't hang around for them to come. You actually try and get people out of the burning house, you know. I think it's a very similar situation here. It's a crisis, and people, you know, are desperate to do something. So what we're trying to do is basically coordinate, you know, all these offers of help that we're receiving.
And it's a thing, really. You mentioned, you know, you get lots of, I think we all do, really, these days, through social media and other sources, petitions that are being, which require signatures for one reason or another. But you sign the petition, sometimes people do, and that's it. And as you say, if there isn't the support, then what you can do, what can you do? If you feel kind of helpless, really, at that point.
Well, absolutely. And there was a petition I signed for something else related several months ago, where they actually said, we're going to have a march. And I'd never actually been asked to go on a march, you know, and so I went along to this particular campaign. Nothing to do with refugees. But I think the point is, if you ask people, there's lots of people that, you know, ordinarily aren't sort of necessarily kind of people that go on marches that actually are prepared to do something.
You might have answered my next question already, but do you see yourself as being particularly political?
Well, I am. Ironically, I emailed both the... I belong to a particular political party. I emailed both the people that I thought might respond, both the city MP and the city council leader, about this issue, and had no response. So, ironically, the first response I got from an MP was from Heidi Allen, who's actually for the Conservative MP. So it's just kind of strange how these things play out.
But, of course, subsequently, you know, Lewis Herbert and, indeed, Daniel Zeichner have both lent their weight to helping to get something off of the ground. I think, in fact, Lewis is quoted today as saying 50 places might be available for refugees in and around Cambridge. Is that enough?
No, it's not, basically. I mean, yesterday I saw an announcement that Leeds Council, City Council, are going to have 200 refugees. So that's, you know, 715,000 individuals in Leeds. If you look across the whole of Cambridgeshire, we're roughly 800,000. I think we should be taking, you know, proportionate number. So I think 50 is not enough. It should be at least 100. Cambridge is a very wealthy area. We've got lots of offers of support. We've had, you know, potential accommodation for 25 people has been offered, you know, and that's essentially in a very short time period.
And whereabouts would this be? Is this in people's homes?
Some of these are private landlords, and And there's other sort of solutions that are being suggested in terms of in the Cambridgeshire area. The point is, I think if you actually try and ask people rather than sort of going through the conventional channels, there are solutions to be found. It's very much the expression, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And there really is a will here. And it's a case of us trying to find a way.
Does it help, do you think, that Cambridge, I'm trying to remember the precise stat, I need Phil Rogers to kind of help me out on this one, but it's something like 20% of Cambridge holds a passport other than British. So we're pretty much an international city here, relatively speaking at least. Do you think it helps that we all come from slightly different places around Europe and around the world to encourage support?
Well, I think, you know, Cambridge prides itself on being one of, you know, the world's great universities. And I think as part of that comes a very sort of world-facing, global-facing perspective. And so it's quite frustrating that I'm not hearing anything from the university at this point to actually take a lead on this issue. I mean, if you think of all the famous academic refugees, I mean, Albert Einstein, probably the most famous example, and there's plenty of others who kind of came in to England during World War II or prior to World War II. And so really, we should be thinking along those lines. You know, if there's a desire to do something, and then you try and raise the money and find the resources and you make it happen.
I guess the other political issue in all of this, on the one hand, we've got Lewis Herbert, I think, has said that, yes, Cambridge wants to help, it's ready to help, but they need, Cambridge itself as a city, needs additional support or the assurance of additional support from national government in order to fund the extra things that might be needed by an influx of refugees in the city. And then also there's the issue of where the refugees might come from, because the Prime Minister has said, no, we're not going to be taking those who are already in Europe because we don't want to encourage others to make the journey, sometimes very dangerously, and instead take them from camps, say, in places on the border with Syria and further afield. What's your view on that?
My sort of angle on this, it's basically you take the most vulnerable individuals first. I think most people would agree with that position. And the Vulnerable Persons Relocation Scheme, which is the scheme that people would be resettled under, basically prioritises on that basis. And so, it's not to say we shouldn't be doing things in all different areas and different individuals, but we have to essentially look at the most vulnerable individuals first and try and find a solution for those individuals. As to the first, the response of the council, I think again more needs to be done, and we can't simply wait around for national governments to take action, because if we did, then very little would happen. We have to actually show that there's the resource in place in the community that actually can support however many refugees we'd like to take. So for example, fostering takes 6 months to process. Let's get those fostering process initiated. Let's have a campaign for fostering so that in 6 months' time, when the first child refugees arrive, we're prepared as part of the fostering process. There's lots of things we could be doing in preparation for that time when central government says, okay, let's make this happen.
What happens in the meantime? Is there sort of other points, if you like, that people who might be listening to this right now and are thinking, well, you know, I've got that spare space in the loft. I did it up, but I never did anything with it. You know, there's room for one person at least. You know, what do they have to do? Or maybe something non-tangible that people can do to help.
I think the first thing really to do is register your intent, your pledge to help, because so we've got a website, CambridgeRefugees.org. You can go there and you can register. You know, you'd like to offer some time, or you'd like to offer some accommodation. The more pledges that we can receive, the more we can go back to people like the council or national government and say, look, we actually have these resources. You know, that have been offered in to help solve this issue. And so really it's a case of getting in touch. We're desperately, you know, we'd love to have more campaigners to actually push this issue. So there's lots that can be done. It's a case of just getting in touch.
Okay. Well, Stefan, thank you very much. We started this interview by saying that you were employee number one, as it were, with the group. How many of you are there now?
Well, in our Facebook group, we have about 130 people now. In terms of our sort of the core committee, we have about 20 people. So literally this week we've been allocating responsibilities to people, the various campaigns. We'd like to do a landlords campaign. We're hoping to do a campaign approaching businesses because they haven't really been approached so far. So there's a whole lot of things we'd like to be doing. It's a case of just organising and making it happen.
Mm. Well, best of luck with it. Hope everything works out and you're able to organise everything. Do come back and tell us at some point in the future how it's all going. That's Stefan Hazelwimmer, and he's from the Cambridge Refugee Resettlement Campaign.